Hello there, and welcome to In Your Own Kin. I'm your host, Charlotte. I'm a lover of great food, sometimes artist, sleep-in advocate, storyteller, mama, and postpartum professional in Naarm, Melbourne. Each week, I'll be chatting to families about their journey into parenthood, the grandest of adventures. Parenting is beautiful, messy, sparkly, hard work. You were never meant to do this alone. It's time to get comfy in your own kin. In Your Own Kin acknowledges the traditional custodians of the land where you are listening to today's episode. I pay my respects to elders past, present, and emerging, and recognize that the telling of stories has happened here since time immemorial. In Your Own Kin is recorded by the Birrarung on the lands of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. Sovereignty of these lands has not and is not ceded, and it remains stolen. This always was and always will be Aboriginal land. In this week's episode, Lauren shares her parenthood journey. Lauren reflects on life with her husband Tyson and their twin daughters Poppy and Layla. Lauren speaks so openly and honestly about her pregnancy, birthday, and life as a twin mama. At 29 weeks and one day, and after experiencing 9 days of immense pain, Lauren and Tyson were told that the twins had twin-to-twin transfusion and that they would be born that day. Lauren reflects on their NICU and special care journey and the joy of their first Christmas together at home as a family. If you follow Lauren on Insta, you would know that she shares both the joys and challenges of parenthood, and this episode is no different. She reflects on relationship changes, navigating twin life, her identity shift, and finding the time to connect with your village. This is such a gorgeous episode, and I know you're going to love it. Here's Lauren. Thank you so much for joining me on the show today, Lauren. It's just so wonderful to finally be having this chat with you.
It's great to finally be able to have this chat after my girls getting in the way a bit.
Oh my goodness. Both of our, or well, all three of our little loves, right, have been really messing this one up for us.
I know. Typical.
The realities. Lauren, would you like to let everyone know who you are, who's in your family and where you're living at the moment?
Yeah. So my name's Lauren. I live in Melbourne. I have a husband, Tyson, and we have I'm just letting my dog in. Sorry, my dog.
No worries.
The realities of life.
Totally.
We have two twin girls named Poppy and Layla who are 18 months old. They're identical twin girls.
18 months, Lauren, my goodness. I was just having another little Insta stalk and I can't believe that they're 18 months old.
No, it's crazy. And I keep forgetting how old they are. And also because they were preemie, like we're always referring to the corrected ages. And I feel when people ask me how old they are, I feel obliged to say they're 18 months, but because straight away people go, but they're so small.
Oh, yeah. And what's the doggo's name? Doggo's been Ollie. Let in.
Yeah, big brother Ollie. Yeah, he's gone now, so you've got me all to yourself.
Lauren, would you like to take us back? Talk to us about pre-parenthood life. What was it like when it was you and Tyson?
Yeah, so Tyson and I met on Tinder. We were a Tinder romance. I'd been single for quite a while and kind of really ready to settle down, and I'd been dating for a while and I met him, and it was one of those things where we met and everything just fell into place.
Yeah.
Yeah, just one of those, you know, how everyone says, when you know, you know. Mm-hmm. It really was that. Yeah, so we met and things kind of moved really fast. We got engaged after a year. I ran another Instagram account, like separate to the one that I've got now, called Foodie Melbourne, which kind of focused on like the Melbourne food scene and also my own home cooking, and that kept me really busy. We ate out a lot, we traveled a lot, and we were very, very busy people. Yeah, but it was also a lot of fun. Like it was a good thing to do leading up to having kids, because obviously I can't do a lot of that now.
Yes. My gosh, it changes so quickly, right?
Absolutely.
And what was the decision to start a family like for you and Tyson? Did you have conversations about having children?
Yeah. I have wanted to be a mum like for as long as I remember. Like I remember, you know, being like 12 years old and thinking like, I can't wait to be a mum even back then. Like it's just kind of been quite innate for me. When I met him, probably the one red flag for our relationship was that very early on he told me that he didn't want kids. And I kind of, you know, just said to him, well, this is my non-negotiable. Like, I will be having children. It's, you know, it's one of the only things that I want in my life. And he kind of went away and had a think about it and came back and said, you know, look, if you're the mum, like, I think I can make it work, which is funny now because he's, like, such a natural, like, just loves being a dad. So it's interesting to think back then that I think he just didn't have any confidence that he was going to be a good father. Yeah, so I guess our dynamic and our partnership gave him that courage to do it, and I'm so glad that he did. Yeah, so then we kind of got married and just decided that after we got married that it was time to start trying and got pregnant on our honeymoon.
My goodness.
Yeah, we were very, very lucky.
And how are you feeling?
I was really excited. Yeah, so we went to Japan on our honeymoon and started trying. And I don't know whether it was just like we were very relaxed. We were drinking a lot of sake, eating a lot of sushi. So probably about 4 weeks after our trip, I took my first pregnancy test and found out, yeah, that I was pregnant. And I was shocked because the year before I had some endometriosis and lost a fallopian tube. So in my head, I always thought that it would take a long time. And I remember saying to Tyson, like, you know, straight after our wedding, we need to start trying because this could take a whole year. But my gynecologist had told me that that wouldn't be the case and that, you know, there would be kind of nothing standing in our way without that fallopian tube.
Yeah.
So I was shocked that it happened so fast, but also really happy.
Yeah, absolutely. And were you feeling well in yourself or were you feeling quite unwell?
The first like kind of 6 weeks were okay. And then it kind of went downhill from there, to be honest. Yeah. Like I had a really difficult pregnancy. Yeah. Like, even before I knew I was having twins, I was feeling quite, not like I didn't vomit, I was really lucky, but I was nauseous all day, every day, to the point where, like, it was very difficult to eat. And I lost, like, I lost weight during my pregnancy. And then obviously once I found out I was having twins, it's very common for twin pregnancies to kind of really cop it with the morning sickness. So I just kind of had morning sickness that never went away, like, for the whole pregnancy. It was tough.
And how did you kind of navigate that? Yeah, worth it, definitely. How did you navigate that? How are you leaning into your support to kind of get through that time?
God, it feels like a blur now. I was still working as a teacher. So I was working 4 days as a teacher as well as running my Foodie Melbourne business on the side. So I was super busy, just so exhausted. I my main memories of the time are literally, I would come home from work, get into something for dinner, and I would sit and just pick at the food, barely be able to eat anything, and like be asleep by 8 o'clock.
Oh, Lauren.
I ate a lot of Vegemite toast. That was like my comfort food and something that I felt like I could handle. So we ate a lot of that. I had like a food aversion to vegetables, which was really hard. So lots of like just holding my nose and like sculling a green smoothie in the morning just so that I got some nutrients into me. But yeah, like I did become like a little bit of a hermit. Wasn't able to do a lot of the stuff that I used to do for my business just because I was so unwell. I remember being at the Truffle Festival, Festival is like my favorite thing, and having to leave because the smell of the truffles was just making me so sick. Just thinking, oh my gosh, I've already lost something that I love.
Yeah. Let's talk about that a little bit because I think that identity shift with parenthood is huge.
You were obviously
experiencing that early on. How were you feeling about that?
It's hard. Like, it's kind of come in ebbs and flows. Like, sometimes I think to myself, like, yeah, this is awesome, this is who I'm meant to be, like, you know, I feel more myself than I ever have. But then there's other times where I do just feel like, I guess a lot of the things that define me, I feel like I can't do as confidently as I used to. And when I thought I was having one child before I found out I was having twins, I think that in my head I thought, yeah, like, we can travel, we can still eat out, like, I can still do the things that I love. I'm going to have one little baby who'll, you know, come along with me. And then obviously eventually eventually it ended up that we had two little babies coming everywhere with me, which wasn't as hard. So I think the hardest thing for my identity shift being that I always knew I wanted to be a mum. And a lot of my friends, I've been really lucky that a lot of my friends have become mums at the same time as me, but they've had single children and I've had two. I think that I just haven't been able to have the, I guess, first time experience of being a mum that I had always imagined. And I really had to grieve that.
Yeah.
It's just like, you know, going to get a coffee and like going to the park. For me, that takes like a lot of planning.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Like I was never able to just kind of baby wear. I could never just, you know, strap a baby on and go for a walk. Everything has to be really planned out. Yeah. So I think that's been the hardest thing for me is just navigating the fact that for my whole life I'd envisioned what maternity leave was going to be like. And then obviously there was also a worldwide pandemic.
Yes.
At the same time, I think I did have to like really process that and grieve the fact that it didn't look the way that I thought it was going to look. It was still, you know, obviously it's been a beautiful experience, but I had to accept that it wasn't the way that I envisioned it.
I think that's such a huge part of parenthood more broadly, isn't it? Kind of stepping away from those expectations or the things that you dreamed up and then trying to be present in what's happening right now. But it's really tricky, isn't it?
Yeah. And I think like the hardest thing about being a parent, and like I know that you follow my Instagram account, and like one of the things that I always try to be on there is real and authentic, because comparison can be so hard. I think when you look at the way that somebody else handles something, or I know even now, like, you know, some of my friends taking their kids to play group or, you know, Gymboroo and stuff like that. And I think like, I never got to do that because I just didn't have the confidence to handle two children on my own, two little toddlers running around without another parent there. And so, yeah, I've had to really like stop comparing my experience to other parents and I guess just focus on all of the benefits that I get that other parents don't have.
Yeah. Oh, it's really important. And I really love how open and honest you are online, Lauren. It's so divine to see the snippets of your family, but to also see an insight into the realities of parenthood, because it's very easy to get sucked into that like linen, perfect, like aesthetic. Yeah. That's not the reality.
That's not what real life looks like. No,
absolutely not.
Yeah.
Let's go back to pregnancy and talk about finding out that, there wasn't one baby. There were, in fact, two.
Oh God. So we found out early, which, you know, was a blessing. So the funny part is that for the whole time that we'd known I was pregnant, Tyson had kept joking that we were having twins, and it kind of came like a running joke. He kept saying it, like, I just feel like there's two, like, imagine if there's two. And I was like, honey, like, we're so lucky to even be pregnant. Like, let's just not throw that into the universe. So we had our first like kind of dating scan, as you do. And he saw it before me. So on the screen, like two gestational sacs came up, and I just thought it was the same thing from two different angles. So I didn't click. And he said, oh my God, there's two. And I just turned to him and said, I've had enough. Like, shut up.
Stop it.
Stop saying that. Yeah, it is not funny. Like, this is our first scan for our little baby. Like, just stop with the twin stuff. And I looked up at the ultrasound lady and she just held up two fingers and nodded. Yeah. Oh, and I just started, like, I just was laughing hysterically. Like, I just completely lost it. And I just said to her, I'm so sorry. I can't stop laughing. And she's like, no, this is good. Like, most twin parents, like, you know, storm out in tears or like, you know, start swearing. But, you know, this is nice that you're just laughing. Yeah. So that happened. And like, we got out into the car and Tyson had to go to work and I had the day off. I went straight to my mum's crying my eyes out. He pulled over on the side of the road and rang me and was like, I think I'm having a panic attack. Are we really having twins? it was really daunting. Just it completely changed the trajectory of where our life was going.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Awesome. And then that night we already had booked to go to Hobart for a weekend just to stay with some friends in Hobart. So I already knew that I was going to have to tell my girlfriend that I was pregnant because I wasn't going to be able to, you know, indulge in the normal wines that we would together. So she picked us up from the airport and I pretty much just burst into tears and was like, I'm pregnant and we're having twins and we've just found out. And it was actually the best thing for us because we kind of spent the whole weekend just talking through it. And I think by the end of that weekend, I was confident that I could do it.
Yeah. And you had your village around you. You had your little community.
And it's one of those things where it's like in our village, we have different people for different purposes. The friend that I'd gone to visit, it's almost like I've always thought that she can really put my feelings into words for me. And it's like just sitting there and processing that with her. She was exactly the right person that I needed that weekend. So yeah, the universe works in mysterious ways sometimes.
It really does. My gosh, how powerful. What a beautiful connection.
Yeah, for sure.
And let's talk about the preparation that you were kind of doing. Were you preparing for the birthday during your pregnancy?
I guess because with twins, like you're told from the get-go that, you know, there is a good chance that there are going to be complications. So ours were what they call MCDA twins. So they shared a placenta, but they had separate sacs. So at my very first appointment at the hospital, pretty much the whole appointment was just devoted to taking me through all of the things that could go wrong, which was really frightening. And, you know, one of the main things that they kind of spoke to us about was the risk of twin-to-twin transfusion, which is why eventually the girls were actually born early. So, like, I guess we were preparing and, like, we were doing all the normal things, kind of, you know, getting the nursery ready and researching prams and baby seats and all that kind of stuff. But in the back of our minds, we always kind of knew that there was a very good chance that down the track, like, things were going to become hard. Yeah, so it was a weird kind of preparing. It was preparing but also bracing ourselves at the same time.
It's an almost bittersweet feeling, right? Like so much excitement, but that tinge of like what will be.
Yeah. And like being like a high risk pregnancy, like I had ultrasounds every 2 weeks from 16 weeks. So every second Wednesday I'd have to take a day off work, go in and have an ultrasound. And like obviously, you know, Tyson couldn't take every single time off work. So often like my mum would come with me or I'd have to go by myself. And you know, people would say to me, but you're so lucky, like you get to see your you get to see babies every 2 weeks, which, yeah, it was beautiful. And like I probably did get to see them growing in a different way than, you know, people who didn't have that opportunity would. But just the anxiety of going into every 2 weeks breathing like this huge sigh of relief when everything was fine and then knowing in 2 weeks' time I'd have to come back and do it again. Yeah, it was definitely a very like mentally and physically tough pregnancy.
And how did you kind of manage that, Lauren? How did you process that or kind of move through that anxiety?
I think probably the best thing, and if any twin mums listen to this podcast, the best thing that I did was very early on I joined, there's a Facebook group called Parents of Multiples Australia. And there's thousands of twin parents in there. So I joined that very early on. And I think the way that I prepared myself was to like seek other people's stories. Like I'm an English teacher. I'm an avid reader. Like I love stories. And so I would engage with other twin mums, whether it was on Instagram or on Facebook, and just find out their stories. And I think the more times that I kind of saw stories that had, you know, started off scary and had NICU time and then seeing how healthy and happy their babies were now really prepared me for what did end up happening.
It's so powerful, isn't it? That power of storytelling or shared experience.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And just like kind of, yeah, seeing what my path could look like. And preparing myself in that way. Like I read a lot of blogs online. I read a lot of stories. I followed a lot of people on Instagram who, you know, had premies or had premie twins and kind of just really like prepared myself for what it could look like. And obviously was hoping that it wouldn't look like that. But yeah, lucky I did.
What were those last few weeks like leading into Poppy and Layla's birthday?
So I had like kind of a magic few weeks from like 22 weeks to 24 weeks where I didn't feel sick. So that was good because we kind of like got to have like some lunches and dinners with friends and stuff like that, because for the first time in a while I could like happily eat. And then once we got to about 24, 25 weeks, by that time, like I was already measuring like full term just because there were two. So I was in a lot of pain, still working, but really, really struggling. So I remember having my 27 week scan and messaging a friend who was a midwife at the same hospital and saying, like, just had my 27-week scan, like, everything's fine. And she said to me, like, Lauren, you've made it. Like, this is the point. Like, if things turn from here, trust me, I work with this all the time. If things turn from here, like, the chances are everything will be fine.
Oh,
and so then that was my, 27-week ultrasound. And then I had my baby shower that week, luckily. And then the day after my baby shower, I just remember being in so much pain. Like, I had like this really strange, it was like the stretching pain that you get, but all the way down my right side. So I went to emergency. They did a lot of tests and stuff and basically said, like, you're not in labor. Like, we think it's just a twin pregnancy thing. Like, you know, you're carrying two, like, it is going to be really tough. You know, Panadol, rest. We think you should probably finish working now, but, you know, that's it. That's all we can find. And so I went home, like, rang my work, went in and packed up my desk, like, finished work early. And then a couple of days later, I was just still in, like, such excruciating pain. And Tyson just said to me, like, enough. Like, we're going back to emergency and this time you're going to really put your foot down. And so I went back again, and because I'd fronted up a second time, they were like, all right, you know, we'll admit you. And so they admitted me, and I had a scheduled ultrasound the next morning anyway. So by this time, like, I'd been in so much pain for like maybe 9 or 10 days. I hadn't even slept. Like, I wasn't sleeping at night. The only place that I found any comfort was the bath. So I was just spending like hours in the bath and also like feeling really nauseous, so barely eating. So they admitted me, gave me some Endone, and I had a good sleep that night, thank God. And then the next morning I just walked up to my ultrasound. Luckily Tyson took the day off work. And, yeah, it was in that ultrasound that they discovered that the girls had twin-to-twin transfusion. So everything changed.
What did they say that meant, Lauren?
So I remember just kind of lying there, and the minute, because like I was in so much pain, the minute that she put the Doppler on my stomach, she went, oh my God. And I said, what? And she said, oh my God, one of your babies, their sac is completely, completely full of fluid. Like it's just, the fluid is, there's so much of it. And she said, are you in pain? And I just remember crying and saying, yes, I'm in so much pain. And she's like, yes, I can see that. And I just felt validated. Like, finally, somebody, you know, was acknowledging that the pain that I was in was a lot more than just being pregnant with twins. And so I said, what does that mean? And she said, it means your babies will be born today. And so I was 29 weeks at one and one day. So after our ultrasound, we were taken straight into the office of one of the perinatal doctors there. And it happened, it just by chance, it was the same doctor, because I went public. So I saw like kind of a different doctor each time. It was exactly the same doctor that I'd had my first appointment with that had told me, you know, all about the risks of twin to twin transfusion. So it felt kind of fitting that it was her. She kind of said to me, like, in an ideal world, we give you your steroid shots and wait 24 hours just to give them a chance for their little lungs to grow. She said, but it's not an ideal world. I don't think we have 24 hours. It's like I'm getting the shakes just thinking about it. So then Tyson rang my mum, who was at work, because I'm really close to my mum. Like, she's like my person. And he was like, Lauren's having the babies like today. Like, you have to get here. Like, I can't deal with this on my own. Like, you have to be here. And she was like, do I have time to go home and get changed out of my work clothes? And he was like, no, get here now. So that my appointment was at, my ultrasound was at 10:30 a.m. and the girls were born at 3:40. So like 5 hours later.
Oh, Lauren.
Yeah. Yeah. A whirlwind. Starting off, it was just me and Tyson. So after they told us that they would be born, they took me into fetal monitoring, which was so hard for them to monitor because I was in so much pain. I was like writhing in pain. Like, I couldn't sit still. Like, I couldn't find a comfortable position. So I got straight on my phone and I texted the same midwife that I had told me 2 weeks before, like, you know, you've made it. You've got to the, you know, kind of that sweet spot of the pregnancy. And I messaged her and said, I've just been told I'm having the babies today. And she wrote back saying, you've just come up on my screen. I'm your midwife. I'll come and get you.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So she was like a friend of a friend, and just having like a familiar face in there was just incredible. Like, she was amazing. So I got taken down into like kind of, I got taken to a birth suite, which is really strange because I never made it to birthing classes or hospital tours or anything. So I'd never even seen what a birthing suite looked like. So I got taken down there, given the, I can't remember what it's called, but it's like a horrible drip that they put you on that feels like there's like fire going through your body.
Oh, the magnesium drip?
Yes. Yeah. I got put on the magnesium drip. So sitting on the bed, like writhing in pain, put on the magnesium drip. My mum made it just before they took me in to get my C-section. Yeah, she got a chance to like kind of give me a hug and tell me that she was waiting outside. And then after that, it was just me and Tyson taken in to the operating theatre.
So beautiful that your mama could make it. That makes me get little prickly eyes.
Yeah, and it worked out well because after they were born, they were rushed straight up to NICU. And I said to Tyson, you have to go with them, like you can't leave them. Mm. And so he went with them, and so I was left just by myself. Like straight away they brought my mum in. So, you know, he was with the girls and she was with me. So, I'm getting emotional to see that. Yeah. So it was like fitting that she'd made it, yeah.
Oh, Lauren, so beautiful. And what was it like seeing the girls for the first time? Talk to me about that.
So I got a very quick glimpse of them. So after they were born, they were taken straight over to the table and straight away put onto oxygen. Poppy, they were more worried about Poppy initially than Layla. Poppy and Layla with their twin-to-twin transfusion, there's a donor twin and a recipient twin. And so basically the placenta rewires and sends everything to one twin and nothing to the other twin. And Poppy was the recipient twin. So she was the one who had got everything. So they were really worried about her little heart, whether she would be able to process kind of getting double the blood, double the nutrients. So the minute that she was born, she was taken away. Tyson cut her cord and then she was just taken away. So I didn't get to see her. Layla, they brought her up to me and let me give her a little kiss. And she was just so tiny, like she was 1 kilo. And I remember just Tyson, just tears streaming down his cheeks and him just saying, oh, my God, she's so small. She's so small. Yeah, so we have a beautiful video of them holding her up to me and me giving her a little kiss on her face, and then she was taken away as well. So then Tyson went with them and I was taken to recovery. And then on my way from recovery up to the ward, they took me through NICU and I got to see the girls through the glass for 5 minutes.
Oh.
So we have the beautiful photographs, but they're haunting because, like, you can just see that my face is just, like, the agony on my face, putting my hand, like, through the little hole and, like, touching them, like, knowing that I can't hold them.
Oh, Lauren.
Yeah, so I got 5 minutes, had a quick glimpse at them both, you know, gave them a little stroke through the glass, and then I was taken up to the ward and I didn't get to see them again for another 16 hours.
Oh, Lauren.
Yeah. So Tyson was like sending me videos and he was like coming up and down this, like, you know, coming up to see me, going down to see them. He took my mum in to meet them and he took his mum in to meet them. And just, yeah, sending me videos and stuff like that. And I was just up on the ward getting taught how to express milk.
Oh, Lauren.
Yeah, it was really, really tough.
Were your mum and Tyson able to stay with you throughout that whole time?
No. So they went home. I stayed in overnight. So the girls were born, like, late in the afternoon. So I think Tyson probably stayed until, like, maybe 10 o'clock at night. And then after that, they went home. And I actually did manage to sleep that night. They gave me, you know, some endone and knocked me out and I was able to sleep.
Yeah.
And then, like anyone who's had a C-section will know what the next morning is like, waking up when you know, you can finally feel everything and, like, the pain. So, yeah, the nurses came in and I'd been expressing milk all through the night, and then they said, like, you know, if you have a shower, if you can get up to have a shower, then you can go down and see your girls. So the first day I went in a wheelchair. Yeah. And I think that was the hardest part, is, like, they were in the same building as me. Like, they were three floors down.
Yeah.
But without a wheelchair, like, I wasn't able to get down to them. So the next day I was determined that I was going to walk. Like, I wasn't going to wait for anyone to push me down there. Like, I wanted the freedom to go and see my own children whenever I wanted. So I was walking by the second day of the C-section, and from then on nothing could keep me away from them.
Oh, my gosh. Honestly, like, superhuman, Lauren. That's
yeah, it was crazy. Definitely, like, there's like this whole level of kind of adrenaline. It's like that fierce mother lion thing, like you push through any kind of pain. So at that point I was able to like go and visit them whenever I wanted, but I didn't get to hold them. I got to hold Poppy after 5 days and I got to hold Layla after 7.
And talk to me about those first snuggles.
Oh, it was pretty special. Tyson actually got the first snuggle with Poppy, which is like kind of goes against everything in NICU, because everything is about the mother's, you know, trying to get the mother's milk and so about that skin to skin. But they were intubating her, so they were removing her breathing tube and putting her onto like a CPAP machine, which is kind of like a lighter breathing support. And one of the doctors there said, you know, it's a bit revolutionary. Like they do it in Switzerland and stuff. But one of the most calming ways to do this procedure is to actually do it on a parent, because that's kind of the place where the baby feels the safest. And I was just like, I don't think I can do that. Like I just, in my head, I just thought I'm going to freak out. Like I can't have them, you know, doing a medical procedure on me. I was just still feeling too raw. And so Tyson was like, I'll do it. And so he got the first snuggle, and then they intubated her and took the tube out while he was having a snuggle. So he held her on day 4, and then I got to hold her on day 5. And yeah, I've always said it's the best feeling I've ever had, other than when I got to hold them both at the same time, which was 2 weeks on from that.
Magic.
Yeah, but they were just so little. So like if you can imagine, like you kind of pull your top down so that you've got like your bare skin showing, and then they put this tiny little thing that's like the size of your hand covered in tubes and wires. All of the wires and tubes are like wrapped around you, and then they put like a little blanket over you and a little beanie on the baby, and then you just sit there and hold them and, you know, try not to listen to all the beeps and the alarms that are going off around you.
Oh, Lauren. I just can't even imagine.
That became like our normal.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was full on. Yeah. But the nurses like and the staff in there, like just incredible. Like even though you're going through this incredibly traumatic time and, you know, your experience of parenthood is so far from what you thought it was going to be, yeah, like you've got these people in there who are just, you know, so caring of your babies and so caring of your feelings. Yeah, you definitely like that was my first support network, I guess.
Yeah,
with the nurses in NICU.
Oh, that is so beautiful.
It was really special.
I think something that most people would ask is how you can support a family that is in NICU, because it's an experience that you just truly can't imagine until you're there. Talk to me about the ways that you were being held and supported and the things that made a difference for you.
I think for us, and like a lot of this was Tyson's doing as well. I think a lot of people who have babies in NICU are almost a little bit wary of like having visitors and stuff like that. And I know it's different now because of COVID, and I can't even imagine what it would be like to have to do the NICU experience now because of restrictions and stuff like that. But he was very much like, we want people to come and meet our babies. So we opened it up, and we were only allowed to have one visitor at a time per baby, but our friends would come and visit on weekends. They would, you know, bring us coffee and come and meet the girls and come and look at them, you know, through the humidity crib and stuff like that. And I think for us that made such a difference, because it was like, why should we not have our loved ones meet our babies just because they're premature?
Yeah.
Like, you know, a lot of NICU mums, barely anyone meets the children until they come out of NICU. But our experience, this was our normal, and we were there for 8 weeks. And so we kind of said, like, you know, if you're okay with coming in like to this environment, then like please come and meet our babies. So I think that was really special, because, you know, we've got friends and family who have seen them from these tiny, tiny little things in their glass boxes to who they are now. So that's been really special. I think another really, really supportive thing is just offering food and lifts. That was like the best thing that I could get, because I couldn't drive because of my C-section.
Of course.
Tyson had to go back to work because we wanted to save any paternity leave he had for when the girls were actually at home and I needed his help. So he kind of had like maybe 5 days off and then he went back to work. So, you know, just having people who would come and pick me up in the morning and drive me to the hospital, and then Tyson would come and pick me up in the afternoon when he came to visit after work, just made such a difference, because there was nothing worse than just feeling so useless as like sitting at home knowing that I couldn't get there. I would stay at the hospital from probably like 9 a.m. in the morning and come home at like 8 o'clock at night. And having people who had stocked our fridge with meals that I could just heat up, especially since like we were trying to get my milk to come in, I was having like a lot of problems with making enough milk. I needed to eat, but I didn't have time to eat. So definitely just stocking our fridge with meals that I could take to the hospital or meals I could have after the hospital was such a huge help.
Absolutely. And so like nourishing and warming, like you just feel love when you eat a home cooked meal, don't you?
Absolutely. Yeah, the days were so long there, like the, you know, knowing that I had a friend coming to visit at like 1 o'clock when visiting hours opened at one, like I'd be sitting there all morning by myself. And so then when someone would come at 1 o'clock and come and just sit with me and chat to me while I was holding one of the girls, it just completely changed my day. Like I just felt so much less alone. Yeah, like I don't know what the restrictions are like now, but offering to go and meet the mum or the dad who is putting in those really long hours, saying to them like, hey, can I meet you at the cafeteria for coffee just to break up your day, I think would mean the world to a NICU or special care parent.
Yeah. And it's the honouring of the journey, isn't it? It's bringing some level of normality to a situation that's foreign.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Your world already looks so different from what you thought it was going to look like, you know, when you have newborns, just to have your people around you kind of validating your experience and saying like, hey, I know it didn't look the way that it was meant to, but I'm here and I love your kids. I love your babies. Was the best gift that anyone could give us.
So magic, Lauren. And at what point were you able to leave the hospital?
I was in hospital for 3 days. And I just, the drive home, because at that point I hadn't even held them, and I had to go home to this empty house, like with my industrial grade hospital pump, like ready to pump every 3 hours and trying to make milk for them. I cried the whole way home because I was just like, I cannot believe that I'm going home like without my babies. So I went home after 3 days, but then I got an infection in my C-section, like kind of wound, about a week later. And so I was put back in for another night just to have a couple of rounds of antibiotics, and then came home again. And then the girls were in for 7 and 8 weeks. So we had 7 and 8 weeks of going to the hospital every single day.
Oh, Lauren.
Yeah.
It's so huge because you're trying to heal yourself then. Like a cesarean is massive surgery. You're trying to process, you know, a birthday that I don't think anyone could imagine, that type of birthday. And then you're trying to be present for your babies. It's just absolutely. A lot.
Yeah, it is. It was really overwhelming. And I think like anyone who's had the experience of being in there, like time doesn't exist in the NICU. Like it's really strange. Like there's no daylight. It always feels like it's the same time. The noises are always the same. Like nothing changes, like just the beeping and the alarms and the constant. Like I would come home and I would have a shower, and in the shower all I could hear was the beeping and the alarms of the NICU, because that was where I was spending the most time of the day. You're trying to cope with the physical kind of healing, the emotional healing, like, obviously it's going to take a toll on your relationship as well. Like, you know, me and Tyson were spending every single day in there, and I was exhausted. I was expressing every three hours overnight. It was like a really tough 8 weeks, but I think it also brought us closer as parents. Like the way that we've parented since then has kind of been, we can get through anything because we got through that.
Absolutely. And talk to me about 7 and 8 weeks. Talk to me about bringing Poppy and Layla home.
So Layla had like kind of a more difficult time in NICU than Poppy. Poppy was just they would refer to her as just like a typical, they call her a grower. Like she just needed to grow. So it was just all about making sure that she gained weight. There were no real medical issues or anything like that. Layla had sepsis at the start when she was born. She was already like a lot smaller, and she didn't put on weight as well as Poppy. She had some bowel issues, so every now and then they would have to take her off milk and put her back on a drip. And so she stayed in NICU a lot longer than Poppy. Poppy made her way into special care. And that was another thing that was really difficult, is a lot of the time the girls were in separate parts of the hospital. So we would have Layla on one side of in the NICU, and then we would have Poppy on the other side in special care. And so we'd have to divide our time, you know, one parent with each baby, which was really hard. We knew that there was a good chance that Poppy would be ready to come home without Layla, which was something that I really struggled with. I, once again, like online community, I spoke to me like, you know, it was actually a kind of good thing, because you got used to having one baby home before you had two, like you kind of found your rhythm, which ended up being true. So they told us the week before Christmas that we would be able to take Poppy home. They give you the opportunity to stay at the hospital for a night or two if you want to, just, you know, so that you can have that normal experience of looking after your baby on your own, but also having like nurses or midwives around if you need help. So we did that with Poppy, and then we took her home, and that I was an absolute wreck. Like, I was so anxious. I was just so convinced that with her being off all of the breathe, like she'd only been off breathing support for maybe like 3 or 4 days. And I was so used to having her hooked up to monitors, I could tell if something was wrong because her heart rate would be high or her oxygen saturation would be low. Like I was used to reading her off a machine.
Yeah.
And so bringing her home and not knowing how to read her without the machines was a lot. Like I had a panic attack when I brought her home, and I just remember saying to Tyson, like, I feel like something's going to go wrong. Like she's going to stop breathing. And I'm sure all first-time parents actually have that experience, but I think just for us, it was kind of a level up. And so then we had kind of the experience of having this one tiny little baby. Like she came home at 2 kilos, this tiny little baby home with us. But then every morning we had to get up and pack her up and take her to the hospital to visit Layla, because we didn't want to give, you know, more time to Poppy than we did to Layla. So it was definitely like a strange start to parenthood at home. In the week leading up to Christmas, like we kind of already told our family, like, hey, we're not going to do anything for Christmas because we want to spend it with Layla. Like we don't want to be away from her. And I didn't want to go to a Christmas thing and have Poppy like handed around getting cuddles and getting attention and Layla being in the hospital. Like I couldn't deal with that. Leading up to Christmas, we were just kind of pretending that it wasn't Christmas, I guess. And then on Christmas Eve, we went in there and the first thing the nurse said to us was, do you want to take your baby home today? And we were like, what? And they were like, yeah, like we didn't want to tell you because we didn't want to get your hopes up. She's ready. Like if you're ready, she's ready. And so I was like, get me the discharge papers. Like, I will sign them right now.
Oh, my gosh.
And, yes, on Christmas Eve, we spent Christmas Eve in bed. I made like a big, like beautiful platter of like cheese and dips and stuff like that. And we ate Christmas Eve dinner in bed with both of our babies next to us. And we woke up, oh, I'm getting so emotional thinking about it. We woke up on Christmas morning with our babies next to us.
Oh
so
my gosh.
It was just like the best Christmas gift ever.
Oh,
yeah. And the best part was, is because Poppy had been home for a week, like my anxiety had gone. Like by the time I had Layla home, I was so much more relaxed. Like I didn't have those fears that I had initially with Poppy. So we had a very like relaxed, chilled start to having our two babies at home with us. Tyson was on leave because it was Christmas. It was a beautiful time.
Oh, Lauren, that is so gorgeous. I can't even imagine. I've got goosebumps.
Yeah. It was the best kind of outcome we could have had. Little Christmas babies.
So precious. Life as twin parents. Let's talk about the realities of parenthood.
It's crazy. A lot of people kept saying to us, like, you know, just get through the first 12 weeks, get through the first 12 weeks. Like, that's the hardest. And then, you know, trust me, like, once they're one, like, being a twin parent gets easier. And I've had the opposite experience. Like, we loved having newborns. Like, obviously, you know, it was really hard. there was not a lot of sleep. But I think the beauty of the way that we did it was because there was two of them, Tyson was so hands-on. Like, it was like, I have one baby, you have one. Like, he didn't have the experience of being a dad, watching a mum, you know, kind of breastfeed one baby and feeling useless. Like, what can I do? You know, she's the main food source. We bottle fed because I had problems. My milk never really came in. I expressed for 6 months, but barely made enough, like, for one, let alone two of them. So we mix fed and we bottle fed. And it was just teamwork from the get-go.
Yeah.
If I was up in the night, he was up in the night, or we would tag team. I'd do one feed, he'd do the next feed. And so, yeah, like, it seems strange to say it, but our newborn days, like, were bliss. Like, I just, I loved it. And we were in lockdown for a lot of their first year, obviously, being in Melbourne. There, yeah, lots of time spent at home together as a family.
Yeah.
Lots of, like, walks around our neighbourhood and stuff like that. I loved the age from, like, 4 months to, like, 7 months. They were just, like, the cutest little potatoes, just such happy girls. Once they started walking, that was when I started to find it really difficult. Just once two of them could run in different directions and I had to chase them, I found that a lot harder than just kind of having, like, you know, these two babies that can't move. I knew how to handle that. Like, I had a really good system for that, but I don't have a system for taking them to a playground and having one run in one direction and one run in the other, which has been tough. I think another thing that I really have struggled with the whole way is just not being able to give the whole of myself to both of them. And I think that's something that a lot of multiple parents do struggle with. Mm. You know, if they're both teething and they both need me, it's really hard. They don't really like sharing me. Like, they want the whole of me for comfort. And so, it definitely takes a village. Like, they're really close with my mom. Tyson's amazing. His family is really close with them as well. So during those difficult days, like, it really does take me needing an extra pair of hands, just even for the comfort side of things.
Yes, absolutely. It's big work.
It's big, exhausting work.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk a little bit more about relationships. Have you felt a shift in the dynamic between Tyson and yourself?
Yeah, definitely. He's amazing. He's a really hands-on dad, which I'm very lucky for. But I think the hardest thing is probably that, obviously, and this is so common in relationships, but my life has changed more than his.
Yeah,
and that's something that I really struggled with. And it's also where my friendship group is at as well. Like, he finds it really easy to make plans with his friends because they either don't have kids or they do have kids, and it's just easy for them to just drop everything and go and do stuff. Mm. But my friendship group is more mums, and it's just really hard to be able to make last minute plans, or so our kids are always getting sick, or, you know, someone's having a bad night, and so things just get cancelled and moved around all the time. And I've just felt like it's been a lot easier for him to hold on to his identity than I have.
Mm.
And obviously in those early days as well, before the lockdowns, when he was working from home and he got a glimpse into what it was really like to stay at home with kids,
yeah,
I think it was really hard that he was going off to work and desperately missing the girls and wishing that he could be at home.
Yes.
And I was at home with them all day, like, completely out of my depth, like, just on the run all day trying to, you know, look after these two little babies. And it's like that kind of resentment where he's jealous of me because I get to stay home with them, and I'm jealous of him because he gets alone time.
Yes.
Yeah, which I know is just so common. It's like, you know, parenthood in general. And I think now we're at a point where we're kind of sometimes like housemates because, mm-hmm. you know, like, Monday night I do something, and then Tuesday night he does something, and then Wednesday night I do something, and, like, we just tag team. The hardest part, I guess, with the girls is it is very hard to, like, say to someone, like, hey, can you come over and look after my two toddlers? So for us to do something together, like, it takes a lot of planning. My mum is at a point now where she will have them for sleepovers and stuff, which is just so good.
So good.
It's taken, yeah, like, a full, like, probably 15 months, 16 months before we got to the point where we felt confident kind of burdening one of our family members with two children that, you know, are the same age and have the same needs and can be quite needy. So at the moment there is a lot of him doing his thing and me doing my thing and us tag teaming the kids. and therefore not getting much time just me and him ever, which is hard.
It's really hard.
But I know everything's a stage.
Yeah, you're so right. And I think it's hard to remember that in the moment, but then you kind of look back, like we're in a similar place to you, but you know, you look back and you're like, I can't even really remember the lockdown haze in like the depths of gray that it was. You kind of get that, you know, time makes everything softer.
Absolutely.
But in the moment, gosh.
I was talking to my cousin about something similar recently, and she was saying that when she had kids, she remembers really grieving her relationship, like just really missing her husband, because all of a sudden there was like this new little person who took up all their time. And she just, yeah, it took a long time for her to accept that this was the new normal and that she wasn't going to get the alone time with hubby that she used to. And like now that her kids are older, she can do that. So I guess that's another thing, is watching family members and friends who have older kids and, you know, seeing them being able to leave the kids with nanny for a weekend and go and have a weekend away just them two. Like it gives me the confidence that eventually like we will be able to do the same thing, but this is our normal at the moment. This is where we're at. And I think it helps that there is also nothing more beautiful than watching your partner become a parent. So you fall in love with them in a whole different way. I might not get to go out and have nice dinners with Tyson, and I might not get to go away on, you know, cute weekends away with him, but I see him tickling the girls or playing with them and or singing to them, or he knows all the Wiggles songs now, and that just your whole new depth of love like for your partner.
Oh, it's very true.
Yeah.
And talk to me about Poppy and Layla. How is it watching them grow and their different personalities emerge?
It's been amazing because they have been so different from the start. Like even when they were in NICU, all the nurses used to say to me, like, that Layla, like she's she's going to be the one to watch. And she's our wild one. So from the start, Poppy's always been really placid. She's more chatty. Like she's always talking. She's a bit of a koala. She's very snuggly. Yeah, just more placid and more. I'm just moving away because I can hear a baby crying in their sleep. hopefully she'll resettle. She probably heard me talking about her.
Yeah, is that wild one? I'll show you wild one.
Yeah, why is she saying my name? While Layla is just so out there and wild. She's so adventurous. Like she's the one that like you take her out of her pram, you put her on her feet and like she's gone. Like she throws more tantrums. Like she feels emotions really deeply. She's not as verbal. Like she doesn't have as many words as Poppy does, but like her facial expressions and stuff like that are just so easy to read. She's a real little character. Aww. So yeah, it has been really, really interesting and special, like watching them. I mean, being that their genes are identical and they've had exactly the same kind of experience. And I remember one of the pediatric doctors that we see at the hospital said that there have been studies that have been done that identical twin personalities often form in the womb. And like when you think about it, like Poppy, you know, she was the one who was getting everything, getting all the food. Like she's, you know, quite placid and easygoing, while Layla like had to fight for her life. And she had to fight for her life in NICU as well. So she's much more of like kind of a fighter, like nothing's going to stop her getting what she wants. Yeah, which is interesting when you compare that, the experience that they had then to now.
Oh, absolutely. My goodness. Yeah. Lauren, it's been really gorgeous chatting with you and hearing about your experience. It feels like such an honor to get an insight into your family's journey and to listen to you speaking so openly and honestly. So thank you.
Well, thank you for having me. It's been a trip down memory lane.
If you could go back to Lauren when she saw those lines on that pregnancy test, what would you say to yourself?
I think I would, even like if you go past the pregnancy test and you go to the scan where there was two, like that was the point that Lauren then needed, like, you know, some comfort. And I think like I would just tell her like you can do this, and like you're probably made to do this. Like, you know, this will feel like your calling in a way. Like just trust yourself that you can handle two, and that you'll love having two, and you'll get these beautiful experiences that, you know, other parents don't get to have, as you watch like literally a love story happen in front of your eyes, like best friends developing from birth. Like that's amazing to watch. So the goods will outweigh the bads for sure.
so beautiful. That gives me goosebumps. Thank you so much for joining me on the show today, Lauren.
Thanks for having me on here.
And sharing your story. I will be sure to share your details so that people can see a little bit more about your family in the show notes. But sure. How can people find you?
So I'm on Instagram. I have an account called The Twin Clares, where I say that I share authentic motherhood musings and recipes and food tips, because obviously, like, I have a food loving side and I've had to kind of convert that to baby food. Yeah. So if you're interested in seeing our story more, or like some really good tips on feeding children, that's where I'm at.
Oh, so much food inspo. I'm always inspired. Your breakfast especially. I'm like, my gosh.
Well, I've got lazier since I've gone back to work, but I'm still trying.
Thank you for having me. It's nice to finally chat to you.
It is such a joy to share these stories with you each week. If you're enjoying the show, be sure to subscribe, leave a review, or share it with someone in your very own kin. You can see all of the gorgeous images of the families that join me each week and get the latest news from Kin on Instagram @KinByCharlotte. I can't wait to chat with you next week.